If you brought a Bible today, I'd invite you to turn to the book of Proverbs with me, chapter 26. My life has been filled with much college ministry. I began my journey here in Jackson at Union University working with campus ministries, and so I'm very familiar with chapel and the schedule and how this all works, and I know how chapel is in May. I also know in this time of year, as a college student, I always found myself struggling to find motivation. I'm a person that loves to start big projects, and I have a hard time seeing them through. I have to stay disciplined in that. And today, I know that many of you are at that point in the semester where you're thinking, I need something. I need some encouragement today to get through these next few weeks. In the book of Proverbs today, I think you're going to find some words of encouragement about the importance of working hard and the importance of pleasing and honoring the Lord. And so if you'll turn there with me in Proverbs chapter 26, that's where we're going to start today. I want to thank Dr. Dockery for having me in your chapel again. It's always the highest privilege and honor to be invited to be here with you all. And thank you, Dr. Matthews, for that very gracious introduction. I did some statistical study recently, and this is what I found about the workforce in America. And some of you are about to enter into this workforce. Don't get discouraged. I've got more news later, okay? But this is the recent studies tell us this, that 1 out of 10 people in America are satisfied with their jobs. That means 9 out of 10 people think their work is boring, dull, and meaningless. 1 out of 4 employees give his or her best effort on the job. So 3 out of 4 people in the workplace today admit that they're given half-hearted work. 20% of the average worker's time is wasted, which means most people work 5 days, but really only work 4. If you do the math, they only produce 4. Laziness is a problem in our culture. Now, obviously, there's another side of this work problem, which is workaholism. That's another extreme we need to avoid. In fact, one man admitted in a survey that he feared death, not because of dying, but because it would end his career. So there are certainly, there's a balance to be had with work. We don't want to become obsessive with our work, but we don't want to become lazy in our work. And I also have found this to be true, according to surveys, the work ethic of Christians is virtually identical to the work ethic of non-Christians. And this just can't be right. Because if we read the Word of God, it tells us time and time again that God loves for us to be hard workers. In Proverbs chapter 26, there are 3 verses I want to share with you to get us started today. These 3 verses describe the lazy man or the lazy woman. Now, none of these are going to apply to you, I'm sure, because there's nobody lazy in college, right? But here are the 3 verses I want to share with you, beginning in Proverbs 26, verse 13. The sluggard says, "There is a lion in the road, a fierce lion roaming the streets. As a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed." In verse 15, "The sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He is too lazy to bring it back to his mouth." 3 things are said there about the lazy person that I think we need to hear as a challenge today. Number 1, the lazy person wants to stay home all day and do nothing. He wants to stay home all day and do nothing. That's what verse 13 says. "There's a lion in the streets," the sluggard says. What he's doing is he's creating excuses for why he can't leave the house and get the work done that he is called to do. Every once in a while, I'll become ill and I'll have to stay home all day. And I'll lay in bed and I'll watch some daytime television. I hope you don't do that. And as I'm laying there watching daytime television, I'm always astounded because here's the truth. People watch this all day, every day. And I think the only reason this is on is because there are a lot of people who like to watch it. And I just think how sad it is that there are people all over America who never leave the house, never think that their life can make a difference in another person's life. They never seek to work or go find volunteer opportunities. They just want to stay home all day and do nothing. There's a lion in the streets. Look at verse 14. It says this, "As a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed." So a lazy person wants to stay in bed all day long. Anybody ever been there? We think about it this way. A door is fixed to the wall. It moves, but it is not removed. I think one of the most challenging things to do as a young person is to learn the art of getting out of bed. It's really hard. I know that one time in college, I had final exams, and I had stayed up late studying, and I had set my alarm and it didn't go off. And I got a phone call about 30 minutes or 60 minutes into the exam. And it was one of my friends who had finished the exam and was calling me and said, "Where are you?" And so I jumped out of bed. I had these flannel pajamas on. And I threw on flip-flops. I sprinted to class, and I walked in, and I said to the professor, "I overslept. What can I do?" And he said, "There's 90 questions. You got 30 minutes. And so I sat down, and I am just sweating. I mean, literally, everybody else is gone. I'm the only one in the room, and he is just watching me. He's enjoying it. He was enjoying it. And about 1 minute before I got done, he walks over and says, "Well, young man, if you want to have a few more minutes, you can have it." Something he might have told me 15 minutes ago. But I'll never forget the horror of sleeping too long. And I think this is one of the greatest temptations for us, especially as young people, when there's not accountability. If you're not careful, you'll sleep all the time. And sleep can rob you of opportunities to please the Lord and to work hard. Maybe you're that person that struggles to get out of bed. You know, the Lord says this, that the sluggard is the person who just turns over and over on his bed and never gets up. So let's be disciplined, let's be motivated, let's get up and let's work hard. Number three, look at what the sluggard is. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish, verse 15. He's too lazy to bring it even to his mouth. He won't even take care of himself. He didn't want to leave his house. He didn't want to get out of bed. He won't even take care of himself. Now, clearly, this is an example of hyperbole in the Bible. Solomon is exaggerating to make a point. This young man is so lazy that he thinks even lifting the spoon to his mouth is too much heavy lifting. And so he's a person that just doesn't want to work very hard. There was an old mountaineer I read about. He and his wife were sitting in front of a fireplace one evening just wasting time. And after a while, the wife said to him, she said, "Jed, I think it's raining. Why don't you get up and go and see?" And so he sat there for a few more minutes and looked at the fire, and then he said, "Oh, come on, just call in the dog and let's see if he's wet." And in some ways, I see this so true in the lives of college students, that there are some people that would give anything to do nothing. They just don't want to work hard. And this is one of the secret sins in our society that very few people see, and that is the Lord knows if you're giving your best effort. The Lord knows if you're giving your best effort. You know what I've learned about preaching and teaching? I've learned that I've done this long enough now, and I've practiced enough at preaching and teaching that I can give a pretty good effort on Sunday, and most people think it was my best. And the same is true of you and your work. You can give a pretty good effort and get by, but God knows if you're really giving your best. And so this wisdom literature says, let's not be like the person who doesn't even want to get up, who doesn't want to work. Flip with me now over to Proverbs chapter 6 in your Bible. In contrast to the person who is lazy, look at the illustration of an ant. In Proverbs chapter 6, we get an illustration of an ant as we're supposed to look at the ant. And this is one of the things you see in wisdom literature. The sages believe that they can look at the created world and make observations about work, about life, about coming and going. And this is one of the reasons also why the book of Proverbs is one of our favorite devotional books, because it's godliness and working clothes. It's how we live life out every day. And so look at the verse, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 says this, "Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer, no ruler, yet it stores its provision in summer and gathers its food in harvest." Two things I want you to notice there about the ant that I think are important for us. Number one, notice that the ant is self-motivated. In verse 6, it says this, "Consider its ways, be wise, imitate the ant. It has no commander, no overseer, no ruler." There's no teacher. There's no boss. There's no person that's saying, "Get it done." But instead, the ant is working hard even when no one is looking. And this idea of being self-motivated, have you ever noticed this? That when you're self-motivated, you have the ability to inspire other people. I believe that hard work is caught more than it is taught. When you see someone that's working hard, it challenges you to work harder. And this is part of our ministry, part of our testimony. Remember that Jesus said we're supposed to be salt and light. That means wherever we are, we're supposed to bring flavor. We're supposed to be different. Well, when you enter a workforce and 9 out of 10 people aren't working hard, and you decide to give your best effort, you show up early and you stay a few minutes late every day, what's that make you? That makes you salty. In the same way, even in your classes today, for those of you who here are who are really interested in pleasing God, and I believe you all are, your desire should be that you would be self-motivated, that you would work hard because you want to please the Lord. The ant does this. The second thing the ant does is he works hard now so that there's a payoff later. Look at verse 8. He stores his provision in summer, and he gathers his food at harvest. Is this not what students are doing? Is this not what you're giving your life for? You're here for these years. You're working hard so that later there will be a great payoff, and it's wise for you to do so. It's wise for you to work hard now so that God can bless you later. And so maybe you're here today and you're thinking, I don't even know why I have to take this class. I don't even know why I have to go through this laboratory experience. I don't know why I even have to do this group project. The attitude that God desires for you to have is that you're paying now and it's going to pay off later. And you see that even in the work of the ant. Now, with my time remaining, I want to give you all three principles for how you should work according to the Bible, okay? How you should work in your class, how you should work on your job. This is how God desires for us to work. Number one, God wants you to work with energy. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says, we command you, brothers, keep away from every brother that is idle. The KJV translates that word idle as disorderly. The NASB says unruly. I like the word idle because we've all been behind someone in a car who seems to be idling, right? They're going so slow that you wonder, what is wrong with this person? And you're stuck there. And then you get in those country roads that just bend and turn, and they're idling, and you can't get around them. It's frustrating. And in a way, this is what Paul is saying. Be careful when you spend a lot of time with people that just seem to constantly be an idol. They're not busy. They're busy bodies, is what he says. And so be careful with the people that we spend time with. A few weeks ago, my wife and I were on a little mini vacation in Arkansas, and we stopped one night at Walmart to pick up some things, and we were going to the checkout counter, and there was hardly anybody in line. And so I said to my wife, this is a perfect one. Look, we're going to get out of here quick. And so we walked up there. We had like 5 items. There was one lady in front of us. She had like 7 items. And the gentleman working the counter, I kid you not, this was the speed that he was. And every time he would put one of those items, he would keep looking that way, and we were all this way. And I was just like I was getting ready to just burst. I was so angry. And he clearly was making a point that he wasn't there to serve us or to help us, and that there was going to be no energy given. I figured out what he was doing. I think he was looking over at the customer service desk because that's where his boss was, and he was waiting to go on break. And if his boss had walked over, I would have said, oh, sir, he's already been on break. There is no need for him to go and sit down. He is taking it easy. And in the same way, the Bible calls us to not be idle, not to be slow, but to do our work with energy and with passion. And I'm telling you, passionate people inspire other people to be passionate. Point number two, not just with energy, but with enthusiasm. Paul says this to the Colossians, a verse that you should all put at the top of your study desks in your rooms. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not for men. That's Colossians 3:23. That's one of those verses you should tack up and just remember that you should work at it with all your heart. Work at it as though you're not trying to please a professor. You're not trying to please a parent. Work at it as if you're going to turn in your grades to the Lord himself. Give your heart to it. And let me say this. Some of you are going to graduate and you're going to enter into the workforce. And let me tell you, the hardest jobs to do are the jobs in which nobody ever gets to see the fruit of your labor. And these are the most difficult jobs to do. And so a conductor of a symphony was once asked, what's the hardest instrument to play in the symphony? He said, without question, it's the second violin. I can get lots of first violins, but nobody ever wants to play the second violin. And you're going to get in those jobs. And God's going to put you in those places where you are humbled. But this is your way out of depression and discouragement. If you'll just believe every day that God is your boss, and that you are working and serving to please him, One idea I think that might be helpful is for you to put right over your desk, it just says, "I'm watching you," signed God. That might freak your roommates out a little bit. But I try to remember that. I try to remember that every week in my work. When I'm tempted to just waste another hour on doing this or that. When there's real ministry and real opportunities, real things that could be done for the kingdom. God wants us to work with enthusiasm. Number three, and finally, God wants us to work with excellence. Genesis 1:31 says, God saw all that he made and it was very good. And do you understand the significance of that truth? That our God does great work. He does good work. And so we are created in his image. And so God desires for us to do good work. So if you have a paper that's coming due, the flesh says, wait till the night before it's due and throw it together. Don't do spell check because you're going to find things wrong with it. Right? I've been there. Just turn it in. And yet God's desire for you is to do good work. So creativity and scholarship are not created in a microwave. Those are created in crock pots. And so you start early and you revise and you polish and you turn in something you're proud of. And your friends are not going to encourage you in this. They're going to make fun of you. Because not very many people do that. But the Lord watches the way you work, and he does good work. One summer, I spent the summer pouring concrete with a gentleman. I had just graduated college. I had a college degree in biology, and I stirred concrete for a summer. And I didn't know how to do concrete work, so all they told me to do is they gave me a board, and I would just stir it just all summer. It was called puddling. That's a fancy word for stirring. One day we had poured a whole porch, and the owner of this business stepped back and he looked at the porch. That thing was dry and it was so hot. It was like 100 degrees. It was drying like that. And it was obvious that it was slanted. There must have been a half day of labor. There must have been $700, $800 worth of materials right there. And I said, so what are we going to do? And he said, well, I'm going to go call the company. We're going to get a jackhammer, and we'll be back here in the morning. And I was watching that man. I was just a college student. I was watching him. He was committed to doing good work. And he was a believer in Christ. I had seen him witness to so many people who had come up, people he had subbed work out to. And if he had said to me that day, I don't think anybody will even notice. It would have changed everything. And there are people in your life, there are people in your life even now, they watch the way you approach your work, and it's a big piece of your testimony. So I say to you, college students, you've got a few weeks left. Don't be like the sluggard, be like the ant, and God will reward you. I also want to say this before I close. I want to say a special word of thanks to 60 college students this semester who have worked so hard. I see so many of your faces here. We created a program at Inglewood called Fulfill, and I asked college students to give me 5 hours of work a week. I get to assign you to work, kingdom work, on our campus and off our campus. 60 students said yes, and I assigned you to all kinds of places. Some of you worked in baby rooms, and you've never been with babies before. Some of you worked with mission opportunities around the city that were very uncomfortable for you. And I just want to say thank you. You have been so wonderful as servants in our church. You have worked so hard. Our staff have been blown away. And it's a program we're definitely going to continue. And so I want to say thank you to all of you who served in Fulfill Ministry this semester at Inglewood Baptist Church. We appreciate your hard work so much. Pray with me. Father, I pray for these students. As they go about their work, Lord, I pray that they would not be tempted to cut corners. I pray that in a few weeks, Lord, when they graduate or when they head home or head to another place for the summer, I pray that they would leave with that sense of satisfaction that I gave it everything I had. Lord, I know this time of the semester is the time when our energy wanes and our motivation is low, and I pray, Lord, that the word today has gone forth and that someone today would say, I'm a sluggard. I've been lazy. And it's not honorable to God. Lord, I pray that the professors would be blown away in the next few weeks at the quality of the work being turned in by these students, that they're serious about their studies and they're not approaching it casually, that they understand that this is a gift of education that most kids in the world don't get. And today, Lord, I pray that these students would be serious about it. Lord, I pray that you'd bless their work. I pray that they would pay now and that there would be a payoff later. Maybe that payoff, Lord, isn't even until they reach heaven. But I pray one day, each person that I speak to here would stand before you and they would hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You worked hard." And I pray, Lord, that we would give it our best. Lord, I also pray today for Dr. Dockery and other leaders in the SBC who are working so diligently, so tirelessly, and I know it must be hard work to prepare a presentation this summer that will launch our convention in a new direction. Lord, I pray for his energy. I pray for his enthusiasm. I pray for his passion for these people called Southern Baptists. Lord, I pray that you'd give him vision and renewed energy and that he would not lose heart. And I pray for others, Lord, for the leaders, for Dr. Aiken and for Dr. Moeller and for Johnny Hunt and all others who are involved, Lord. Give these men the passion for our convention that we might move forward in growth and not in decline. God, let the kingdom rise and let it begin with Southern Baptists. Let us work hard for your glory and for your name's sake. And it's in Jesus' name I pray all these things. Amen. God bless you all. Have a great rest of the semester.